Good evening, everyone. Trust you all are doing well in Jesus tonight. It's well with your soul, amen. We have so much to be thankful for. We're a blessed people because we know Him as our personal Lord and Savior, amen. Father, we just ask for your word to have free course and trust in the power and guidance of your Holy Spirit, and just pray that we would have ears, spiritual ears to hear, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened tonight, that we might know your greatness. Let us have ears to hear, hearts to receive, and by the power of your grace and Holy Spirit, we would rise up refreshed and ready to fight this good fight of faith. We will be careful to give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. All God's children said, hallelujah. The Lord's good. Amen. Elston got back to St. Kitts. I think it was Saturday, and he just, again, he said it when he was sharing so wonderfully. He shared his heart here. If you weren't here when he shared, you'll hear it on the tape. Make a point to hear it. It was a blessing. He was just overflowing with thanksgiving again and said, man, just thank the people. Thank them for your generosity. Thank them for their prayers. He sounds really good. And the guy's walking out what you would call in the natural a tragedy. Loss of his second wife. And the guy's saying, it's well with my soul. I mean, when I picked him up at the airport 3 weeks ago, he looked like a skeletal, broken down man. And when I took him back to the airport a few days ago, he just looked like a refreshed, strengthened, powerful man of God. That's what the presence does. He spent hours in prayer while he was here using the missions house. He's just been fasting and praying, and he eats, but he just really, it's a fasted diet type thing, and it's just, he made nothing about that. It was just about a consecration. I need to hear from God. I need him now. I'm desperate for him, and he says it's the best place he's ever been in his life. It was just a real inspiration to me. I told him how encouraging it was to me. Just as a reminder, as Pastor and Greer are away, please remember them in prayer for God's refreshing, for God's strength, for just Pastor to hear whatever Father has for him and has for us, should the Lord tarry and he makes it back here. Because Jesus could be back tonight, amen? Amen. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Praise God. And then you all saw the email about Taryn and what she's going through with the hemangioma, and just be believing for the peace of God, the grace of God, but even just that miraculous touch, amen, that they would just, before they go in, say, we don't know what happened, but it's gone. Why not? That's what we should be believing for, just trust in God. It's very normal for God to be himself, right? It's very normal for God to do miracles because he's a miracle worker. So it's not a struggle. You don't have to work up your faith and generate extra faith, because if you have faith, a little faith, you can move mountains. That's what the Bible says. Amen? And we know that our Lord's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? And there's nothing too difficult for him. He said, is there anything too hard for me? He said, if you only believe, you'll see what? The glory of God. That's what we want. The glory of God. Amen? And so thankful tonight for his presence. Was sweet. I trust you partook of it. And we just need to rest as a people. Your soul is made up of your mind and your emotions and your volition or will. And you need to tell your soul to quiet down. To be quiet tonight. You can even tell it while I'm saying it. You can say it to your soul. Tell your soul to be quiet, right? To hush. To be still, right? And know that he's God. And that means he's got it. Whatever it is, right? He's got it. And he's got you in his hand. Praise God. I mean, just think about that. If we get a hold of that tonight, we could go home and just sleep in peace. God is in what? God is in control. Now, believing that produces rest. And assurance in God and not in circumstances being favorable or not. It's not about circumstances. God has got this. You say, but yeah, my prayer is not answered. Your prayer is going to God. God orchestrates how he answers. Your prayer does not bring God to do what you want him to do. There are specific promises. You can pray according to his will, and he hears and he answers. But there's times where we pray and we don't understand why things are going the way they have gone after we have prayed in the name of Jesus. And that's a time where we choose to do what? Trust. Trust him. I'm not even trusting. I'm trusting his promises, but I'm trusting him who made the promise. I'm trusting him because he's God. Letting God be God. Letting God be who he promised he is. And our minds that are so limited, and as Pastor likes to say, finite, want to comprehend what's incomprehensible. If you turn over to Romans 11, I can't tell you how many times as I was fellowshipping with Elston, we talked about this verse. It was from day one to the last day when I took him to the airport. And I took him to the airport twice because he came back again, then he left again. And every time he was around, we talked about this verse. And it was sweet fellowship. Verse 23. Oh, Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. God, your God is so big. How big is he in your eyes tonight? He is so magnanimous. We can't come up with sufficient adjectives tonight to describe his greatness, his majesty. How big, how awesome, how able, how trustworthy he is. He wants us as little children to trust in him alone. He wants us to trust even when it looks scary. Even when we don't understand, you go through what Elston went through. And you're just looking at his tears and he's just going, God is so worthy. And he found no fault with God. He just said, I needed to go through this to get a glimpse of God. I thought I knew, he told me one day. He said, I thought I knew. He said, I found out during this trial, I don't know. I'm just skimming the surface. This guy's been in ministry for years. He's walked with Father. He's a man of God, leading man of God in that nation. Just a fine man, a great brother, good spirit. He just said, I'm just scratching the surface. It hurts our minds to lean to our own understanding. The mind seeks for what it can understand. The spirit says, rest, soul. Your spirit man says, rest, soul. David spoke to his soul. You can, out of your innermost being, out of your inner man, where the Holy Spirit resides within your inner man. God's given you a new heart, and he lives there, and you're one with him, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He who's joined to the Lord, the Bible says, is one spirit with him. Isn't that powerful? You can speak to your soul and say, rest. Be still, my soul. Hope thou in God. I'll yet praise him. I'll yet praise him. Circumstances come and Satan wants to silence your praise. He wants to turn your lips from praising and thanking and worshiping to wondering, doubting, fearing, criticizing, judging, questioning God, judging God. Satan comes to accuse God, to make you doubt him, to make you doubt his goodness, to make you doubt his love for you. And how many times do we listen to Satan's lies, to fight the fiery darts of the evil one, the thoughts that come in that we wonder, where did they come from? Satan puts fiery darts in our minds and then accuses and condemns you for thinking them as if they originated in you. There is in our flesh sin. And it says in Romans 7 that law of sin in our members wars against the law of our mind. So there is the lust of your flesh warring against your mind. That's your flesh. That's not who you are in Christ. And then there's the fiery darts of the evil one. And he's looking to impregnate your mind with doubt, with fear, with anything that's anti-Christ, anti-God, anti the will and word of God, the wisdom, the counsel of God. And he's active, man, in this hour. And he comes. Every time Satan's coming, it's to cause you to doubt God's love for you, God's plan for you, God's hand on you, God dwelling in you. He wants you to move out of the rest and the reliance and the faith, because true faith produces rest. The simplicity of faith, the childlike faith, the simplicity, as you've heard pastors so well share on faith, reliance upon God, assurance in God. According to Hebrews 11 verse 1, faith being now faith, the King James Version says, now, comma, faith is the substance or proof of things hoped for, the very evidence of things not seen. We are a people who have the hope and the eyes of our understanding enlightened so that we can call things that are not in the natural as though they were, because we know God's word, we know his promises, and even if they don't manifest when we think or how we think, our persuasion on the word of God doesn't alter. Can you say amen? Because I know in whom I have what? I know in whom I have believed. And I'm what? Persuaded. You need to be persuaded about your God tonight. I am persuaded that he is what? He is what? Can you say it? He is able. Praise God. Amen. I'm not going to break out in song. Don't worry anybody. That's Ron Canole's song. He is able, right? Broke out in song. You guys will forget everything I'm saying, man. That's for sure. But you don't have to sing well to be a worshiper. Right, Josh? He is able to keep. Just think of how powerful those words are. We just go right over them. He is able. I could stop there and preach on that. To keep. Keep what? Keep you. Keep you from what? Falling, fearing, sinning, gossiping, judging, giving into the devil. He's able to keep you. You're kept by the power of God, Peter says, through what? Through faith. I am persuaded, 2 Timothy, you're like, you didn't even finish reading the verse in Romans 11. I hope you're not focusing on that verse right now. We'll get back to it if the Holy Spirit wants us to. Amen. Don't sit there and wonder how I teach. Listen to the content. I try to teach the way the Lord leads me. Amen. I hope that's good enough for you. It's good enough for me. I am persuaded. Are you persuaded tonight that he's able? That's good meditation. He's able to keep what I've committed unto him against that day of his return. That day of your trial, whatever that day is, that day of you being tried or tempted. How many times have we quoted the verse, but you can't quote it too much, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that no temptation has overtaken you except what's what? Common to man. It's common to man. You're not the only one. It says in 1 Peter 5 that your brotherhood, your brethren in the world are also experiencing the same trials. It's common. Those trials are common to man. And no temptation has overtaken you except what's common to man. And then what does it say after that? But God is what? Faithful. It's a good thing to put down in your notes. Not just God is faithful. I need to meditate on the faithfulness of God. I need to let my heart and mind dwell on his faithfulness, his goodness. The word meditate, you know so well. But one of the ways, I was talking about your spirit being able to command your soul to come into subjection to God's word by the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. The word meditate means to ponder. I want to ask you tonight, what have you been pondering on? If you don't control your mind through the Word of God and by the power of the Spirit and in the name of Jesus, your mind will play all kind of games on you. The lust that's in your flesh and the fiery darts and the things that come in through your eye gates and the things you read and the things you see, the programs you watch, that stuff will begin to get in there and dominate you if you don't make a choice to do what God said. In His Word, I'll meditate, what, day and night, that my way might be made prosperous and that I'd have what, good? Success in God. Prosperous, not just materially prosperous. You could include that in it. Prospering in God. Prospering as His child. Prospering in your salvation. Prospering in your walk of faith. Prospering in your walk in the Spirit. Prospering in your hope in God. Walking out the love of God. Loving the brethren. Loving the lost. Loving His return. Loving His Word. Loving prayer. Overcoming how hard in our natural man it is to pray. And building up our spirits, exercising ourselves enough toward godliness where the love of God that's in our spirit becomes more real to us than all that we are in our natural man. Exercise, it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, exercise yourself toward what? Toward godliness. Build up your spirit, man. It's an evil day. Not only is it a crooked and perverse generation, we know this. It's an evil time. It's a dangerous time. It's not a time for our hearts and minds to be seduced or distracted away from Jesus being our first love, from Jesus being everything in our lives, from Jesus being worthy of full surrender and reliance and nothing being kept back or held back from Him. He's worthy. He deserves our praise. He deserves our surrender. And we're not doing Him a favor when we've done everything He would want us to do. We would still see it as, I'm privileged. I'm the debtor. I've been forgiven much. So undeserving, yet so forgiven. Loved so freely, yet so undeserving. Born an enemy of God. Conceived in iniquity. Born a rebel. Born a sinner. And yet, while I was a sinner, He loved me. Died for me. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And while we were sinners, how much more now being justified, the access we have to His throne of grace, to His heart, to the knowledge of Him, though we do see through a glass darkly, you hear the cry of men of God like Paul who said, I want to know Him. And he tasted so much of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus as Lord that he says, for me to depart and be with Christ is far better. That's how much of a glimpse. Though Paul said also, now we see through a glass darkly, and then when we see Him face to face, then when we see Him, we'll know as we've been known. But the same man said, for me to live, oh, that would be just more real. It's in us, but that it would become more real in us. For me to live, I have no life outside of Jesus. I live and move and have my very being in Him. It's no longer I or you. It's no longer we that live, but it's Christ who lives in us. Christ in us. The hope of glory. What do we lack? We only lack what we're not tapping into that's been freely and readily made available to us through Jesus' finished work at Calvary. We only lack because we don't partake. We don't drink. We don't eat from His hand. We're not letting Him feed us. He said, I'll satisfy. You won't thirst for anything else. And if your bones are dry, I'll quicken them. If your soul and spirit's thirsty or empty, I'll refill you. But like the song said, we gotta wait. Good things happen when you wait on God. It is good. It says in Lamentation 3, for one to wait for the Lord. How many times does the psalmist say, wait, I say. Your natural man, our natural man, beloved, it can't wait. Our natural man is hasty. Our natural man is anxious. Our natural man wants what we want yesterday. We want it now. We want it quick. And God says, when you walk in me, when you abide in me, I teach you to wait. You wait for me to move. You wait for me to lead. You wait for me to provide. You wait for me to open doors. No man can close and close doors. No man can open. But what do? We don't get built up enough in our Adamic nature. Can't wait. It does not have the capacity to wait on God. The Adamic nature has no capacity to wait on God or wait for God. Nor does it have any capacity to glorify God. It can only glorify one person, the flesh, self. Wait. The depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Look at this. How unsearchable are His judgments. And we want to try to figure stuff out, man. How many times do we reason in our minds? We want to figure it out. God says, you're not going to figure me out, but you can know me. You can commune with me. You can walk with me in the cool of your garden. You can hang out with Jesus in Gethsemane. You can walk with him in the high places. He'll be with you in the low places. There's nowhere that he's going to abandon you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will not leave you without comfort. I've given you my Holy Spirit, and I won't leave you as orphans. Praise God. What promises. What assurance. What goodness he's bestowed upon us. What favor. What more favor could we have than God dwelling in us? And yet we try to figure it out. And we give in to fear. And we give in to anxiety. We don't have to be anxious. Jesus said, don't be anxious. We know what Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 says. To commit it to him. He'll bring forth your righteousness. Trust him even as it pertains to your growth, your transformation, the spiritual things we even get anxious and concerned about. We start moving in fear. Am I ready for the coming of the Lord? You say, well, Pastor, isn't it healthy to be afraid? Well, it depends what kind of fear. It depends what the motivation, the driving force of that spirit of fear is. Is it a healthy fear of God? It says in Hebrews that we serve God with reverence and godly fear. Our God's a consuming fire, but we don't have a spirit of fear. That kind of fear comes from this world, from unbelief, from the enemy, the spirit of fear. And that fear, it says, produces torment, a lack of rest. There's an uneasiness in your life. That anxiety, that when you're outside of faith, whether it's fear you're given into, anxiety, lust, covetousness, pride, some kind of bitterness or grudge, or not, you're holding someone in some type of unforgiveness or having a judgmental, accusatory spirit toward anyone, you're going to lose your rest. We're not called to judge, we're called to love. You say, well, no, Pastor Ron, that's not all biblical. We are called to judge righteous judgment. But I wasn't talking about righteous judgment. I was talking about carnal judgment. So don't judge while I'm teaching. Listen. Anyway. I understand righteous judgment. We're called to love, not judge. Build up, not criticize. Pray for, not tear down. Beloved, the battle is not against flesh and blood. What is one of Satan's main tactics? To try to get us to see the battle as flesh and blood. You say, well, there's a lot of flesh and blood around here, but the battle's not against flesh and blood. So what does Satan do? He dangles the bait. Man, look how your wife is looking at you today. She doesn't even seem like she has a big smile when she's bringing you your meal. Maybe she's serving me begrudgingly. So you go, hey, are you begrudging serving me today? Hey. Just because your wife doesn't have some big smile every time she puts the plate down for you doesn't mean she's begrudging you. We get all sensitive and we're in our little judge antenna goes on. Are they judging me? Do they love me? Is everything okay? What's wrong with them? How come they didn't greet me? That's all judgment. It's carnality. It's criticism. It's accusation. Pull it down. Against your spouse, against your pastor, against your deacon, against yourself. You're being accused and beaten down by the enemy, and what's happening in you, you're transferring to others. You can't walk it out towards others if you're not partaking of it in your own life. Because what's in your heart's going to come out. Right? If death is in there, you're going to get squeezed in death, lukewarmness, or whatever. If you've been questioning God or judging God or giving in to your old man, if the old man is back on the throne, you're going to get squeezed. And guess what's going to come out of your mouth and out of your fruit and out of your conduct? Old man. Where's your heart tonight? Are you at rest in God? I trust you are. I trust it's well with you. But if not, I trust that you'll make haste to run back to Jesus. That you'll make haste to make things right with your Heavenly Father, the lover of your soul, the one who died for you and rose again. Don't wait for anything or anyone to make stuff right with God. Make it right. Change anything in your life that needs to be changed. You can't change yourself, but you can go to Jesus and acknowledge that you need His help, and He is going to be an ever-present help in time of trouble. You're asking Him to be like Him in a particular area. He's ready to help you. You're asking according to His will when you're asking for His character, His attributes, His heart to be in you. You want His heart for His people. You want His heart for the lost. You want a heart to love His appearing. You want a heart. You begin to even make it a prayer about your prayer life. If your prayer life's gone off track or you've become cold or lukewarm or lost your first love, you make that a matter of prayer and you say, Father, turn my heart. Restore me, Father. Give me a hunger for your word again. I've lost. You just begin to talk to where the truth is. The Lord desires truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, He'll make you to know wisdom. It says that the person who's going to abide in His presence is the person who speaks the truth in their own. See, we normally think of truth that we're speaking to others, which we need to. But embracing the truth in your own heart and where you are before God, He already knows. And He hasn't stopped loving you. We walk around holding too much, bottling too much in, man. Get it. Get time with Father. Get it out. Get your heart out there at Father. Whatever needs to be cleansed, He's ready to help you. He's ready to perfect, to continue to mold, to finish what He began. Finish doesn't mean it's going to be a one-time touch and there you are. No. To continue the work that He started in you. Faithful is He who calls you. Amen. Who also what? Do it. Being confident, it says in Philippians, right, of this very thing. He who has begun what? How are you seeing what He calls a good work in you? Are you seeing it that way? How are you seeing yourself, beloved? We need to see ourselves through the Word as we are in Christ. And what Satan will try to do is accuse you and get you to see yourself outside of Christ. And then you start looking at others through your own defiled heart. And you begin to judge them out of your heart. And when your heart's not right, your judgments aren't right. If you're going to judge, judge this. Love one another as God has loved you. Forgive one another as you've been forgiven. Do unto others even as you'd want them to do unto you. You want to be great. You want to be accepted. You want to be a champion. You want to be great. Those are all noble things. But here, the Lord said, do it this way. You want to be great? Become servant. You want to be great? Let this mind be in you, Philippians 2, that was also in Christ Jesus. It was a mind of humility. It was a mind, as we heard Sunday so well, it was a mind of unselfishness, esteeming others better than ourselves. We can't do that, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if it wasn't possible, He wouldn't have told me to do it. But I can't do it unless it's no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. Are we yielding and decreasing enough to let Jesus live His life through us? Or is there just so much of us, so much self, so much lust? That's all that's in the world, lust of the flesh and I and pride of life. Is there so much of us that He can't flow through? I believe He's flowing through. I believe we're growing. I believe we're fruitful. And the Lord's going, and I'm pruning you so that you can be more fruitful. There's still areas that need to be lopped off, that need to be purged. There's wrinkles, spiritual wrinkles that need to be ironed out because Jesus is coming back for a glorious church. Amen? Without spot or blemish or wrinkle or any such thing. A church that is sanctified, set apart for Him, and cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word. And my encouragement to you tonight is, make sure you stay in the secret place. It is dangerous out here, outside of God. It is a dangerous hour, the Scripture says. In this hour, the mighty are falling outside of God. You can't trust in what you were or what you did. You can't trust in your works. You can trust in Him. And the more you know Him, the more you'll rest That he's in, I said earlier tonight, he's in control. But how is that going to become more realized? How is that going to become more real in our lives? You cease from your own works and you rest in God and let God work through you. How? When you abide in him, his words abide in you, you build your spirit man up, you refresh yourself in his presence, and then it becomes what? Not obligatory, not just doing the right thing, it becomes what? Life. It becomes living water. You say, Pastor Ron, it is hard to stay there. It is, man. But it's available. We got to be quick to get back to it when we lose it. We do sell it out at times. We sell them out for what Judas sold them out for, or even less. We sell them out for momentary pleasure, for a little bit more. We sell them out for a lot of things, beloved. If you haven't seen that you do that at times, you don't know your own heart. We sell them out. We trade him out for things that are so inferior to him. And then when we taste his presence, we say there's nothing like it. And we sell it out again. When you blow it, get back to him quickly. He hasn't stopped loving you. He hasn't stopped wooing you. He hasn't stopped calling you to himself. He's not done in your life. He knows when you're going to fall, how you're going to fall. He knows what you're going to give into. And you know what? All you can do is one step at a time, one decision at a time, one day at a time. There's not enough grace to live in tomorrow. And some of our minds are way down. That's part of, again, let this mind be. Bring that mind back to submission to the obedience of Christ. Pull down those strongholds and thoughts that cause you to lose rest, that cause you to become anxious, that cause you to worry. I believe our hearts also need to be stirred up just regarding the people in our midst who need prayer, man. That prayer list, we need to start taking that and making it our own. And I'm talking to myself as well as anybody. Let's just commit our hearts and say, you know what, man, it's time to see God move. It's time to see God move. I'm looking for the next person crossed off of that list, praise God. I'm going to just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And we don't want that thing to become rote or just something we do or just something we put up and get tired of. We need to believe God and be stirred up in our most holy faith. And one of the ways Jude says you do that is praying in the Holy Ghost. When you don't know what to pray, beloved, and I know it seems I keep coming back to that point. When you don't know what to pray, pray in the Spirit. When you're praying in the Spirit and you don't even know if it's coming out in the Spirit or if you're just babbling in tongues, ask God to help you. Father, help me. Help me to pray. And just stop listening to the accusations of the devil. Are you doing this right? Is your mouth cocked right? Is this Chinese? Is this Japanese? Is this Singhalese? Is this whoever, whatever? Is this Burmese? Who cares what it is? Just speak it, man. It doesn't matter. It could be the tongues of men or of angels, but just build yourself up is what I'm talking about. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. What does it say? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Remember, Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. You have authority in the name of Jesus. You have victory in the name of Jesus. Satan is subject to you in the name of Jesus. Some of us are so zealous to want to cast him out of others. Get him out of your mind. Amen. When he's out of your mind, you're not thinking evil about people. You're not assuming the worst. You're not being critical. You're not judging. You're not given to the spirit of the accuser. And then you begin to accuse others. You're accusing others because you're listening to the accuser yourself. You say, well, I haven't said anything. I didn't say you have to say it. It could be in your heart before you say it. You're not noble because you didn't say it, but you're allowing it to dwell and fester in your heart. That doesn't mean you're clean before God, right? He knows our hearts. Amen. He sees our hearts. And though sometimes they're filthy and impure, he still loves us. And then we try to work it out and hide it and hope nobody knows, man. And we're walking around on eggshells. Man, God knows your heart and he cares and he wants to help you. And sometimes we give in and we let that thing be. Go to the cross. Take it to Jesus. He's faithful. He's not tired of forgiving you. You haven't exhausted his forgiveness. Satan will tell you you have. Look at you. Here you are again, dummy. How are you going to ask God to forgive you again on that area? Because he's merciful. Well, yeah, you're not worthy. I'm not, but he's merciful. Well, I'm never going to do it again, bless God. Okay, just be careful before you start running with Peter too quickly. You don't want to do it again? That's good. You hate it? I don't want to do it again, but if you're going to focus on not doing it again, guess what you're going to do? You're going to do it again. How many times do we try to defeat our weaknesses by defeating our weaknesses and not getting our eyes on Jesus and committing it to Him, taking it to Him? Yeah, there's confession, there's repentance, there's asking for forgiveness, but you got to let God work. And the principle isn't defeat that area so you can be more in Jesus. Go to Jesus with your weakness. He'll meet you where you are and He'll not leave you where you are. He'll pull you up from where you are and bring you to where He is. That's what grace does. That's what the blood of Jesus does. Get back up, beloved. This is a day we need to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Time is short. Don't let anyone steal your crown in this hour, praise God. There's a lot of spiritual enemies and a lot of spiritual forces aimed at your soul going, I want to take this guy out. With the knowledge you have and the revelation you've been given and the prayer life you have and whatever God's done in your life, you are a target for satanic powers. I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm just saying don't think it's strange. We're praying, hey, I want to reach more souls, man. I want to pray for the sick. I want to cast out devils. And Satan's sitting there going, huh. Okay, I better run away. He is going to leave you for a season and He's going to come back more ferociously. But He walks about. He prowls about as a roaring lion. And how do you get picked off by a lion? You isolate yourself. From who? You isolate yourself from who? How do you get picked off by a lion? Isolation. What kind? In the spirit, what does it look like in the spirit? You begin, because you don't really isolate yourself from the body until you start isolating yourself from. Because when you isolate and you start moving away from His body, which is He's the head of His body, you think you're just moving away from people. That's not what's happening. You begin to move away from the presence. Your heart's slowly drifting, or quickly, your heart's drifting away from God. You're drifting away from His Word. You're drifting away from walking in the Holy Spirit, walking by faith, walking by grace, walking in His steps. Because if you're walking in Him, He will not let you pull away from the body and think you're okay. The head will not let you drift and isolate from the body and give you peace while you disobey His Word. How many people say, well, I'm at peace. And they're in rebellion to His Word. There is no peace when you're outside of His Word. There's conviction, right? And there's need to get back, amend our ways and repent and then be forgiven. Then the peace is restored. Amen. So we begin to drift and get isolated from the Lord. Don't lie to yourself and say, no, it's not the Lord. These people, you know, when you begin to get into that mindset, these people become they. The leadership, your pastors who love you, who lay down their lives for you, who bring you the word, they become they. Your deacon becomes part of they. They are part of you. Don't listen to the devil. It's not they and you. Us against them. It's not like that. But when you've been listening to the devil, we become they. No, they are shepherds. They've been placed and called by God, and their job is to feed and lead you with the Word of God. Amen. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to obey them, because that's better, it says, for you to do that, and it's not good for you to not do it. And it says submit to them and obey them. That's good for your soul. If you're not doing that, guess what? It's not good for your soul. So outwardly you can obey. Submission's in the heart. I might not see, but He does. God's got big eyes. All seeing, all knowing, right? All powerful. And eyes of love. And He cares. He cares about you. Just rest in His love tonight. Just say, Father, make it real. I've lost sight of it. God, Your goodness. Well, I'm going to try to love Him because I've not been. Well, you do. You might have fallen from loving Him, but it starts by going, you start meditating on He loved you first. It's a reciprocated love after you had a free deposit put into your inner man. The Holy Spirit shed the love of God abroad in your heart and gave you the ability to love Him. That's grace. That's the goodness of God. That's the greatness of God. That's the greatness of the finished work at Calvary. His finished work, His resurrection. Soon coming King, and we can't ever lose sight of, and I know you know it so well, He is ever living right now to make intercession for you. And He's praying like He did for Peter that your faith wouldn't fail. And when you get up with strength, you get back up having been forgiven, He said, strengthen, encourage the brethren. He was talking to Peter and his shepherd and his calling, but that principle is not limited to Peter. God touches you just like He touched Peter's mother-in-law. Get up and serve. Don't just take how good you feel in God and squander it upon yourself. You'll end up feeling good for a moment, but you'll end up empty and discontent again. Rivers of living water flowing out of our innermost being. Amen. That's what we want. How unsearchable are his judgments? And look at this. His ways are past finding out. So stop trying to find them out. His ways are past finding out. Isaiah says his ways are higher than our ways. Amen. Isaiah 55. But the word of God doesn't return void. Trust in him. Rest in him. Be at peace in God. He's put his peace in your heart, and it's a supernatural peace that passes all understanding. You still will have that peace, John 16, in the midst of tribulation. It's a peace that transcends your understanding. So when your mind is trying to figure stuff out and you're not in peace, you're not walking in faith. So what do you do? Turn back to God and cry out for his mercy. Cry out for his help. Ask him to restore you. Ask him to renew you. Ask him to touch you again. Tell him you're desperately in need. I am messing myself up. I'm getting messed up. Help. Lord, help. I'm drowning. You're not in water, but you're drowning. Lord, help. And he comes to our aid again. Isn't he good? How many times has he bailed us out? How many times has he rescued us from ourselves, from our sins? From wrong motives that we couldn't even see our own hearts. How many times has he rescued you from your flesh? From evildoers, from enemies, from the devil, from this world. How many times we got saved and how many times has he delivered us? Has he ever failed you? He's never failed you. I love how Polycarp said when he was being put to the test and told to denounce Christ, and he just started talking about how good God's been to him. All these years I've served him and he's good to me. You want me to deny him? And his life was on the line. He was at rest. At that point, Polycarp knew, this is where God has me. And his grace is sufficient. And that's where the rest is. It's in God himself. His grace provides beyond my understanding. Well, this really hurts. This really hurts. Man, there are some pains in this life that are beyond comprehension. But we have the God of all comfort, right? The God of all grace. We stand by grace. We're comforted beyond human comprehension. You look at a guy like Elston, he's lost a second wife that he loved dearly. And he's sitting there going, I need more of his touch. I need Jesus. What an inspiration. That's tough stuff. To lose a kid, to lose a spouse. But I'll tell you what's tougher than that is to lose your soul. That's the toughest. Or to see someone you love and you don't know where they're at. They perish in this life and you don't know where their soul is. That's serious stuff, man. Aren't you glad all these things are in his hands? Life and death they're in his hands. He's sovereign. We know his word, but he's sovereign. He's in control. He's ordering your steps. Well, I don't like how it's going. Or I like it. I like it right now. He doesn't really do what he's doing for you to like it or dislike it. That's not his chief goal. He's ordering your steps to bring you the best opportunity to get you home and to hear well done at the end. So everything that he's working and allowing you to pass through. And so many times we lose sight of it. We start fighting circumstances. We want to run people over. We get ticked off at stuff. And all of it is intended to work together for our good if we're looking at it from an eternal perspective, which so frequently we're not. Right? Aren't you glad he's merciful and patient with us? And you finish encouraging somebody with those words, and no sooner than you finish, you're under trial. Say, man, if I was a pastor, it'd be a lot easier. It sounds like you guys just skate right through it. No, no. No, we don't. The principle is smite the shepherd. Right? Satan's after the shepherds of God. He's after pastor. He's after us. He's after you. But Jesus said, upon this rock of who Jesus is, the revelation of Jesus Christ being the Son of the living God, Jesus said, upon this rock of this revelation of who Jesus is, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Praise God. He comes in one way, the Bible says, and through faith in God and submission to God, he flees in seven. He is a liar. Drive him out. Drive him out of your own mind. Drive him out of your own heart. Drive him out in the name of Jesus. And there's only one way to do it. It's in the name of Jesus. And it's by you submitting to God and resisting the devil, and he'll flee. But you can't give place to the devil while you try to resist the devil. Right? You can't give place to bitterness and not deal with it and not repent of it and then want to resist the devil, because you've now given him place. Right? So you don't have authority when you're not in right standing with God. I'm not saying you're trying to analyze how holy and how sanctified you are. I'm saying there's known sin, you haven't dealt with it, your heart's not right, and you want to resist the enemy. Those are the times where he says, Paul, I know, you have authority, you're a child of God, but I'm just saying, if you give place to bitterness, you give place to unforgiveness, you give place to that critical, accusatory, judgmental, you're not believing, you move outside of God's love. And God's love is patient, God's love is kind, it's easy to be entreated, it's peaceable, it's believing all things, hoping, enduring all things, it says. And love never fails, and love doesn't think evil or rejoice in iniquity. You're not looking at people through that evil eye. You're not wondering or looking at them through their past sins. Rest in God. You know, when you rest in God, you know another thing will help you do? It'll help you listen to what people are saying. When I'm out of rest, while they're talking, I'm already planning what I'm going to say. I'm just waiting for their lips to stop so I can insert what I want to say. That's when I'm out of God's rest. Now, none of you all here deal with that. It's just me, okay? But just in case you do, some of you might not insert as quickly I do, but if you don't insert, but you're just over here somewhere else mentally, you're doing the same thing. When our wives are talking, when our children are talking, or we're with people, we need to have ears to hear. I'm too busy to listen. You're too busy. I could pull up about 10 verses right now just on listening. Go read Proverbs. It talks about how many things it talks about just listening. We got to listen to God. I find if I'm in tune with God and I'm quiet enough to be still before him, I'm really hearing you well. If I'm not listening to God well, I don't really hear everybody else's clearly neither. There's so much busyness and activity in my mind. I'm hearing you, but I'm not processing as much as I need to. Get quiet. Tell your soul to be quiet. Fill it with the word. This word's alive and powerful. It'll cleanse your mind. Get in that time in prayer. Open the word. Open it to a place where you can say with Jeremiah, just go to Jeremiah 15, where you see, no, you don't have to go there now, but I'm saying, where you find that verse, I found your words. That's probably my favorite verse in the Bible. I found your words and I ate them. And when you do, they become the joy and the rejoicing. You're back in the rest. You're back in the peace. You're back in that place where you're like, God's in control. If God's for me, nobody can be against me. Satan's lying and you're going, yep, here's what the word says. And you're just at rest. God's in control. You're walking in the Holy Spirit. You're walking in your old man being subject to the new man you are in Christ. And it's not very fun in this walk when your old man has taken back the throne, or you're in the process of being toppled. Your spirit man's in the process of being toppled over. It's not fun to be defeated. And I'm just saying, we don't have to be defeated. We're not a defeated people. We get defeated, but we don't stay defeated. We get knocked down, but we don't stay there. And I'm not saying because we're chuff and we just grit. No, I'm just saying you get back up looking unto Jesus. Hoping in Jesus, knowing that he started this work in you. To be strong in God, you got to be weak in yourself. The more you embrace how weak and how incapable you are, how desperate you are for God, will be the measure of grace you'll partake of. The partaking of grace in your life will be to the same extent that you trust and see your need for it. Trust him and see your need for it. Your humility will determine the measure of grace you partake of. That's what brings grace, humility. Humility is just a recognition. I'm incapable. I'm totally bankrupt in myself. I'm poor. That's what poor in spirit is. I'm totally destitute and bankrupt. I'm totally incapable of pleasing God in myself. But that reliance in God causes God to just, he sees that brokenness, he sees that childlike faith, and he just moves in. Even though he's in your life, he just moves in. He goes, this person wants to be controlled by me. My eyes are scanning to and fro, just looking for a heart that's available, a heart that says, I want to be devoted. I want to know him. I want to be like him. I don't want anything in my life but the will of God. God notices. You will stop his eyes right where you are. He'll know your address. He'll see your heart, and he'll come in right there, and he'll go, I'm welcomed here. There's more of myself I want to reveal and give and do in this life. How much is available? How ready are you to partake of more? To drink of more of him? To know him better? To know him more? Description of himself as an ever-present help in time of trouble. How unsearchable are his judgments? And then look at this, his ways past finding out. Verse 34, who's known the mind of the Lord? You say, well, I know I don't know it. But every time you're trying to get God to answer to your mind, every time you're trying to figure it out and make sense of stuff that doesn't make natural sense, you are going to get tripped up. We want to make sense out of things that God hasn't revealed to us yet. God doesn't care if it makes sense to your natural mind. What he's concerned about is that you trust him. And even if it doesn't make sense to you, you're resting in his goodness. You're resting in his character. You're resting in his promises. Your assurance is in him and what he told you to hope in, what he told you to meditate on. You say, but you're saying I'm not even going to think about that? I didn't say that. You're going to think about those things. He knows you're dealing with them. He knows you're struggling with those things. Those battles are real. Those weaknesses and those thoughts that you're battling are real. But you know you can't leave it there. You know you got to take it to him. The desire to want to understand various things is in every single one of us. Our minds are just the same. We want to understand. And God's saying, I want you to worship. I'm trying to see how if I feel like worshiping. He's saying, just worship me because I'm worthy. Well, I'm trying to see if I feel you're worthy right now. I don't know if I feel that you don't have to feel anything. You just worship. You break out into praise. No better way to get rid of a spirit of heaviness than put on a garment of praise. No better way. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who's become his counselor? I think one of the things I'm trying to say is I just think we have too high of an opinion of ourselves. We hide behind our Bible knowledge, but we're just more puffed up than we realize. We trust too much in our own perception and our own opinion and our own analysis. We're that way with ourselves. We analyze other people. We're too self-confident, and we need to decrease that he might increase. Verse 35, who's first given to him and it shall be repaid to him? And then look at this. I'd say the verse 33 and verse 36 was most of the time Elston and I, those are the ones we get lost on. For of him, through him, and to him are all things. So if you hang out with him, you're in good shape. You're like, that's too simple, man. There's a lot of verses I'm putting off and putting on and putting on. And there's all these pieces of the armor. Yeah, I understand. I probably know those verses better than you, to be honest with you. But the bottom line is it all works in Christ. It's just that simple. Because what the devil wants to do is complicate it. And Paul said, I'm concerned lest your minds be corrupted from what? The simplicity that's in Christ. It all works in him. Maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea to hang out in Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3. There's more in hymns in those three chapters than anywhere in the whole New Testament in him. It just talks about who we are in him. Seeing ourselves in him. And anything that's outside of him, that's us. That's what we do take, as we heard Sunday. That you can take credit for. But don't just hold on to it and take credit for it. Just see, that's the area where I need to go to Jesus and just say, Lord, help me die. I offer myself up again as a living sacrifice. I can see I took my life back into my hands. I can see I hurt that person. I can see I misspoke here. Accept the humblings of God. And the humblings of God, usually God showing you, you're not who you thought you were. You're not as spiritual as you thought. You're not what you projected. You are not all that. And the sooner you keep accept those humblings of what you're not, at the same time, simultaneously, he's given you the revelation as you accept it. You accept your nothingness in yourself. You accept that you can do nothing to honor him in yourself. The more you keep buying into that, the more you become alive in him. Dead to self, alive in him. It's like a death and resurrection. Death to self, more life in God. You hold on to your life, you lose it. You lose it, you find it. So the more you embrace your nothingness, the more you and I stay small in our own eyes, the more we're fit for this hour. This hour, I believe the people who are going to be strong and do exploits are the people who know their God. And I believe the people who know their God are going to be the people who are small in their own eyes. I believe God's looking for brokenness and humility and availability and yieldedness. He's not looking for the mighty. He can use the mighty if they're yielded. He's not looking for the gifted. He can use the gifted, though there's not many of them, the Bible says, that are going to be able to make it. He's looking for childlike faith. He's looking for surrendered hearts. He's looking for availability. He's looking for yieldedness. And I believe that's what you all, I believe that's why we're here. That's what we're about. That's who we are. That's what we're pursuing. But we got to keep pursuing it. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word and your presence. Why don't you stand before the Lord? Praise God. Ooh, glory. Maybe you've had a long day. Trust that the Lord's ministered his grace to your heart. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Maybe we just take a moment and begin to just thank him for his goodness. Thank him that he hasn't forgotten you. We talked about God being in control tonight and getting quiet and telling our souls to hope in God. Let's just take a moment and begin to practice that right now. Just thanking him, praising him for who he is. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, you've been good to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Just ask him, help me to get my eyes off myself. Help me to walk with that glimpse of eternity. Romans 8, verse 28, God works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. If God's for us, nobody can be against us. Faithful is he who calls you regarding your sanctification, spirit, soul, and body. Faithful is he who calls you. He said he's going to do it. It says in Romans chapter 8 that God did not withhold or spare his own son. He loved you so much that he laid down his life. He didn't withhold his own son. Why would he withhold anything else from you since he gave you the best when he gave you himself? Pull down any lie of Satan. You're not worthy. You're not going to make it. This isn't for you. This is too hard. Pull those lies down. Resist the enemy. They're out to get you. They don't care about you. They're respecters of, who are they? Satan's putting in your mind they. We're one in Christ, beloved. One heart, one soul. Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 1. Look out for Satan trying to isolate you. We're not ignorant of his devices. Remember, he's called the accuser of the brethren. That's what he does. He accuses God to you day and night, it says, the accuser of the brethren. Use that shield of faith, beloved, to quench the fiery darts. Be ready to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He didn't say it's not going to be a battle, but he said, come and cast the care of it on me. Come to me. Let me carry the weight of it. Let me take your burdens. I'll make you lighter so you can run through a troop, praise God, and leap over a wall in the name of Jesus. Called you to be a warrior in this hour. All it takes is a heart for God. When you look at all the things God could have said about David, he said he was a man after my own heart. Just make that your quest. No, no, not me, Pastor Ron. I'm a soul winner. No, no. If you have a heart for God, you'll be a soul winner. You can't be having a heart for God and not be a soul winner. You can't love his word and not love his people. You can't love his word and love the Lord and not love the lost. He loves the lost. He loves his people. David was a man after God's own heart. He walked with God, and it says, and he fulfilled all my will. With all the things we learned, David did and failed and got back up. God's final description of that man, that imperfect vessel, is that man is a man after my own heart. That's what I want. I believe it's what you want. I want to walk with God and leave an inheritance to the next generation. I want to burn for his glory and the next generation see what I have and be provoked to jealousy. I want this other generation that's tempted to think that the world's got more to offer to look at my life and go, I want what that guy has. What he has is working. What he has is real. Beloved, that's what we need to continue to deposit in this next generation, because Satan's after them. We can't just tell them, we got to lead them. And you can't lead without being full of Jesus. God, make us more like you. Continue to fill us. We're trusting in you. And we thank you that your grace is sufficient. In Jesus' name, praise God. All of God's people said, amen. Praise God. Turn to somebody and say, his grace is sufficient.